This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour three rolling along. Good Monday morning to you. If you just joined us, we've been talking preseason football and what we could get out of it, if anything. But what the Jets got out of it is an injured starting quarterback. Joe Flacco is expected to now take over until Zach Wilson comes back. He'll have surgery on Tuesday out in Los Angeles. Not a major surgery on that knee. Here's some maintenance that is going to be needed on it. But he injured it in the preseason game, non-contact injury. But nevertheless, we've been discussing, look, these preseason games, are they important enough to put in even young quarterbacks that are still learning the ropes of the National Football League? But we're also going to get into baseball. Steve Gardner is going to join us this hour. We'll talk not only about the Yankees who are sliding, the Mets who are rising, but Fernando Tatis, who has now been suspended 80 games for a violation of the performance-enhancing drug clause. He said he took medication for ringworm. It had a steroid component in it, but it is the same old story every time these guys get caught. And the interesting thing is that Fernando Tatis might be telling the truth. Who knows? But it does have a sort of an element of familiarity when it comes to these guys. It seems like every time they get caught for something, it's always, oh, I had no idea the medication I was taking contained this. When your entire livelihood depends on whether everything that you take of whether or not it contains this or that. It is getting, it's old in a way, but at the same time, it is almost used over and over again. And I think the big question, which we'll explore in just a minute, in the end, does it matter in the public eye? You know, we've had Alex Rodriguez get suspended for an entire year due to performance-enhancing drugs, and yet he's on TV talking baseball, reality shows where he's helped people with business ventures. Alex Rodriguez has emerged from that unscathed. Roger Clemens can't get into the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds is going nowhere near the Hall of Fame. But some people just can rehab their image a little bit. Is this even a concern for Fernando Tatis and the Padres? Or does he just come back from this, play well, if gets back on track to being a superstar player, and we go, oh yeah, that time he took the ringworm medication. We'll talk about that coming up next. We'll also, again, get back to the NFL and some of the things that we may or may not have learned this last season. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue with Hour 3 on Wake Up Call.
Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Steve Gardner is going to join us at 40 past the hour. We'll talk Major League Baseball with him. A lot of good stories, but a lot of, again, controversial stories. Fernando Tatis suspended 80 games, performance-enhancing drug violation. He will not play at all this year and some of next year, depending on how far the Padres go in the postseason. So his year is done. He was coming back from a wrist injury, but now he's not coming back. So that's it. Fernando Tatis is done for this season. And the Padres, remember, got Juan Soto. They were all in on this season, gave up a lot to get Juan Soto. Now, it doesn't mean that their World Series hopes are dead. They might be able to win the World Series without him. And it also doesn't mean future appearances in the World Series or World Series runs are done either. It's just that this year, it's a blow to the organization. The Dodgers are very, very good. The Mets are very, very good. I think you would need all hands on deck when you get to the postseason, and they're going to be short one of their major stars. Nevertheless, it's the same old story. Again, took a medication, didn't know what was in it, and now I'm suspended. Oh, woe is me. And I want to attack this a little bit two ways. One, in the end, is the baseball public, sports public, are they as angry about this in general, right? When anybody gets suspended, whether it was like D. Gordon got suspended or anybody else, on the same level as like when Bonds and Sosa and McGuire. I don't think so. I think this is just part of the business. Does it taint a legacy, a potential legacy? Yeah, no. I mean, I've seen guys not be able to shake it, but then I've seen it kind of go away, right? I mean, like he's a young guy. he's going to be around for a long time. I mean, is anybody going to 10 years from now go, yeah, but oh, never forget that time in 2022 when he was suspended 80 games? I don't think they do. But nevertheless, it is a problem because, again, these athletes keep coming up with this excuse, and I don't think the American public buys it, even if it's true. I think that's one of the problems in it. We've just been down the road too many times of, oh, I didn't know it was in that medication, or I didn't know it was in that drink, or I didn't know it was in that cream. I didn't know, like, so many times we've reached the point where we go, I don't know if I buy this. I don't know Clostebol is, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. Well, it was in there. And shouldn't you be getting your medication through somebody that has your best interest, just to make sure certain things aren't in it? Because I do think the one reason that the American public gets a little skeptical on this is that, let's say you wanted to take a certain type of steroid, right, that is found in medication. Now, believe me, the right people know that, right? So, I mean, what I mean by the right people, you could say, well, I'd like to help my workouts a little bit. I want to take something. And the right people will go, I'll tell you what, take this. Here's the thing. When you take it, and if you do get caught for it, you can just say it was part of a migraine medication, or it's part of the ringworm medication, or it's part of this medication. And that's your play. That I think is the problem. Could Fernando Tatis be telling the truth? Of course he could be. Absolutely. It could be simply an innocent mistake. But we've also been burned enough to go, but we don't really want to hear it. Right? We don't really want to hear it. I know I've said this a lot of times. You know, it's like when my kids were little and they would fight, and I would say, I don't care about justice, I care about peace. What I meant by that is, I'm not here to deliberate anymore. I'm your parent. I want you to be quiet. Stop fighting. I don't care who's right. I don't care who's wrong. I don't care what the story is. Stop hitting your sister. Stop hitting your brother. Stop fighting in the back of the car. Be quiet and let's finish this trip. That's all I want. That's all I want. In this case, it's very similar. I don't care if it's ringworm medication. I don't care if it's for a migraine. I don't care if it's for an aching shoulder. I don't care what he took it for. Just don't take it. Don't take it. If it's got Clostebol in it, leave it alone. If it's got anything, leave it alone. If this is the avenue you want to go down, where you're going to take this stuff, and then you're going to say, in the end, it was for medication I didn't know, how about getting better people around you to read labels? How about get better people around you that ask the right questions? Or better yet, do it yourself. Find out the things that are banned. Make sure it's not, whatever medication you're taking doesn't have that stuff. So you don't run into the problem where you suspended 80 games and your team's World Series hopes for this year have been derailed slightly. Because you're not going to be a bat in their lineup when they face the Dodgers or the Mets in a series.
And didn't you get the feeling that the Padres, like the organization, players on the team, had the same approach?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mike Clevenger, I mean, he didn't light him up, but basically says, like, you know, I hope he matures from this.
Sure, of course. Like, if it's a lie, meaning he was taking it and then used the ringworm medication as an excuse, then he's very guilty. But if he did have ringworm and he used this medication and had Clostebol in it, do what every other ball player does. My God, it's not like we're suspending every person 80 games for taking medication. They're taking the right medication. They're going to their doctor and saying, you're prescribing this? Does it have any of this stuff in it? Actually, it does. Well, then I can't take it. How about Mr. Pharmacist? Can you tell me if it has any of these? Actually, it does. Good. I can't take it. Anything that doesn't have this in it? No. Well, I guess I'll have to live with this until it clears out or whatever it may do. I don't know.
Is ringworm still popular, by the way?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Me either. So please. Right? It's the same. Maybe we went through this with Barry Bonds, right? Where he was taking the cream and the clear. Remember all that? Remember that from 20 years ago?
Yep.
Right? Where it was like, whatever it was, 20, yeah, I think it was, now it's like 20 years. Where it was like, oh no, I didn't know. I just trust my trainer. Well, don't trust your trainer. How's that? How about that for a change? Put it in your hands And I'm glad that the organization isn't coming to his defense and saying, oh, we've all been down that road with ringworm. We've all had that moment of clarity when we realized Klosterball was in it. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, but pretend I am. And we all said, yeah, can't believe it has that in there. Oh, my God. Major League Baseball is going to suspend me. Whoops. No, they're not all saying that. Why? Because, A, some of them have probably gone about it the right way. They've got people in place, the right people in place, that have said, hey, I'll watch out for this for you. Because it is in my best interest. It is in your agent's best interest. It is in everybody's best interest that you do not get suspended. So we all want you to play and do the best you possibly can and be the star you possibly can, because we want to put you in commercials and we want to put you on TV and we want to put you in different areas to enhance your image and endorsement possibilities. And no, sitting out for 80 games doesn't really help us in that cause. How about that? Now, again, is Tatis's legacy stained forever? Not really. Right? Again, he's a young guy. He'll be back. He'll play. If he does what people think he's going to do for his career, we may look back and go, oh, the ringworm controversy of 2022. But that's about it. That's about it. But I will say, can I just say this? And I don't say it a lot about Major League Baseball. Kudos to Major League Baseball and the Players Association for coming together on a deal like this, where it's 80 games. It's a significant suspension. It's a big deal. They've taken it seriously. They should have taken it seriously a long time ago, but it is better to act now than whine about the past. So they've taken it upon themselves to say, no, we're taking this seriously now. Our sport was rocked by this, kind of destroyed by this, and we're not messing around with it anymore. You get caught for performance-enhancing drugs, a performance-enhancing substance, you test positive for it, it is 80 games. It is a year, half a year of baseball. So enjoy it. Enjoy the time off contemplating that, especially the damage that you did to your team, who's now making a push to try to make the World Series with Juan Soto on the roster. So good luck. But again, it highlights there's two things about this story that I think are there's one good and there's one bad. There's one good in that it does highlight that Major League Baseball is not messing around anymore. They're not pushing it under the rug. They're not saying, oh, my God, we're going to hide the results because we want our stars on the field. They are key. They are. It doesn't matter who you are. If you've got caught with this, you're done for 80 games. And if that means the rest of the season and the postseason, so be it. You got caught in April, you'd be back by the All-Star break. But now you're done for the year and you'll wait till next season to see when you can come back. But the second thing is it does show you that every now and then, it's not an epidemic, but every now and then, something like this does pop up to make us go, well, it's not quite gone away. And like I said, Fernando Tatis may be telling the truth, and this was just simple medication, but that substance is banned for a reason, and you can't take it. And it's not a shock, and it's not a surprise. They didn't spring it on him. They didn't tell him, oh, I'm sorry, Klosterball? Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't put that on the list. Too bad. It was on the list. He should have asked about it. He didn't ask about it. And now that team has to pay the price. So it's kind of too bad too, because the team was all in. Chips were in the middle of the table. Juan Soto is a great player, but the Padres gave up a lot to get him in terms of your future. They gave up a lot of players. I said this last week and I'll say it again. I think there is going to be a Where Are They Now feature at some point in 5 years. Someone in Washington is going to do an in-depth look at the Juan Soto trade to show where he is, and he could be wearing 3 World Series rings. Maybe he wears 0 World Series rings. Maybe he's injured and he never was the impact player in 5 years that we think. Maybe he's the superstar we all thought he would be. But somebody is also going to write on the other side of that coin every player that Washington got and saying 5 years later, where are they? Maybe one player is playing for the Tampa Bay Rays via a trade. Maybe one or two are stars for the Nationals. Maybe one is still in the minors. Maybe one is out of baseball. But that was such a haul of good, young, talented players that somebody is going to say, and remember the haul Washington got? This is what it is now. And because I think it was that good of a haul. Nevertheless, it's a trade you make when you look up, way up, at how good the Dodgers are, who are just cruising right now. And the Mets are good. And you better be careful because the Cardinals or Brewers could be sneaky good as well, and you never know about the Atlanta Braves. You make a deal like this to make your push to the World Series, and now one of your stars who has been out but was scheduled to come back soon is now out for the rest of the year due to this. Ringworm medication. Well played. Well played. American public doesn't buy all this, and they shouldn't, because even if you're telling the truth, it's falling on deaf ears. That's it. That's the way it is. We've heard this way too many times from athletes. Sorry, I had this, and I took this, and I didn't know what was in it. Well, how many of these stories have to happen before somebody goes, wake up and look at the label, or talk to your pharmacist? It's that important to your career. If anybody else had a career that was absolutely imperative on what kind of medication they were taking and what was in certain medications, you'd do it. Why can't they do it? And they've got the resources to do it with four or five people checking for them. All right, we'll continue. Steve Gardner is going to join us at 40 past the hour. We'll talk baseball with him on the Yankees' demise, the Mets' rise, the Dodgers' rise, and some other news and notes around baseball. That's all coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts. NFL preseason weekend. We got another one coming up. Oh, boy. By the way, week zero in college football is going to happen a week from Saturday. So this Saturday, enjoy it. The next Saturday, college football kind of kicks off. I don't know. I mean, look, we don't want to call it week one because week one is really like the big Thursday through Monday Labor Day celebration. But week zero, there's some games on there too. I mean, yeah, they're not blockbusters, but some teams are in action. So we got, you know, got that coming up. But boy, it's right around the corner. When I was in Indiana this weekend and we went up to see my brother, we stepped out on Saturday and it was gorgeous. I mean, it was just a perfect, like a fall feel. It was like a little cold front had come in. Humidity was gone. It was like perfect weather. It just did get me in that little football feel. It's never okay to drive stoned. You put yourself and others in danger. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. I do want to say, I'm not a Hard Knocks fan. I will admit this. I was for a few years, but the show is predictable. All right? The show follows pretty much the same formula. And after a while, I just got used to the formula, and I was like, there's really nothing else here. So I didn't really watch it. But the Lions intrigued me enough last night. I was looking for something to watch. I saw it was on HBO Max. I said, I'll watch the first episode. And I was kind of glad I did. We talk about Dan Campbell a lot and how much we like him. I like him even more after the first episode of Hard Knocks.
I don't know why I haven't jumped into it. I had the opportunity to do it this weekend. Yeah, and I don't know why I didn't jump on it.
I'm not going to tell you that it's an awesome, different first. Oh, it's the same stuff.
And I'm 100% with you. I mean, we could pretty much outline what the first episode is and what the second episode will be and what the third episode will be. Because what, they're normally four or five episodes?
Yeah. And they're never doing playoff teams. They're never doing the Super Bowl champs. So it's always a team that's rebuilding or struggling and getting better and learning as they grow. It's always that kind of team.
Or it's the Cowboys.
Yeah, or it's the Cowboys. There's always a rookie that's like a high-profile rookie. Aiden Hutchinson is the guy they focused on in episode one. You know what I mean? Like a Michigan kid playing in Detroit. His dad played for Michigan. He played for Michigan.
Great storyline, by the way.
Great story. $23 million signing bonus. Did a great rendition of Billie Jean that got the whole team fired up.
I did see that.
That was pretty cool.
I did see that. I mean, obviously you see that. And I also saw a lot of Dan Campbell's new sayings.
Right. Yeah, we're right. Exactly. He's got a bunch of them.
Which I'm on board with.
And there was like, you saw a lot of the coaches. A lot of the coaches are former players. He brought in a lot of former players. So it wasn't just like lifelong coaches, that kind of thing, or 23-year-old coaches that were like, I was a ball boy for this team, and now I'm offensive coordinator. Like guys that played. He has a full staff of coaches that have over 80 years of playing experience in the NFL, including him. So, and they talked about his background. You know, he was a player in the league for a long time. He played, and then he got out of the league, retired, went down to Miami back when Bill Parcells was working in Miami, and he got an internship, turned it into ended up a job. He went to New Orleans, learned under Sean Payton, was the coach, was an interim coach with the Dolphins, and then became the head coach of the Lions. He's a rah-rah guy. There's no question about it. It's a little over the top in a lot of ways, but it's kind of needed, I guess, for this team. But like I said, when the cameras roll, some people play up the camera a little bit. Some people know that, you know, hey, look, I'm being looked at in a different light. I might as well make the best of it. But you never got the feeling Campbell was doing that. Like, it was like, I'm going to talk like this and act like this regardless. But it was really, it was a good episode. If you, again, if you're familiar with the outline of the show, they don't deviate from it. It's the same old, same old, you know, yelling at players that miss things and don't do things right. And talking about how this guy's a good player and that guy's a good player. And there's always that one guy that's high, that's surprising the coaches, same old formula. But if you're like me and you've kind of been watching Dan Campbell all last year and wondering how good he's going to, if he can turn the Lions around, is he the right guy to rebuild this team? Well, the verdict's still out. They were a 3-win team last year, but nevertheless, you get the feeling like he is, like he's putting some things in place. So that was the case, but I liked it, but I don't jump on board with these things. In fact, I can't really remember a full season that I watched in a while. I can't remember the year the Atlanta Falcons were on, but I do remember watching that. But I can't really remember a time. I didn't watch any of the Rams. Was that the one during COVID, with 2020 season, where they highlighted the Rams? I think
I don't remember that one either.
I don't remember any of that.
Or was that Cleveland?
I did see some of the Cleveland one, but I didn't see all of it.
I just remember Coach Wiley.
Coach Wiley, that was the guy that didn't stretch.
Yep.
And he drove that really cool car.
And he had the big gut that shook when he laughed, like a bowl full of jelly.
Like a bowl full of jelly. I did see a few episodes on that one. I mean, I don't think they're bad. I mean, they're really interesting. And I think for the average fan, and even if you're like on the periphery, like I like the NFL, but I'm not following it every day. If you're one of those guys, it can be interesting. My wife thought it was interesting. She never saw an episode ever.
I mean, outside like the very first season, I don't think I've ever completed a full season.
Yeah, they get old after a while. We've talked about this before.
Like I said, like you said just the beginning of the segment, they're all the same.
All the same.
And that's why I say you and I, we could probably write the script for the first episode, the second, the third, the fourth. You know, I don't know how many episodes these things go.
And if you are looking for like reality show fireworks, you never get them. Like you never, like when guys are being told they're cut, they don't scream, holler, throw the playbook, yell at the coach. I'll show you. You'll regret this. They go, no, thanks for your time, coach. Appreciate it.
You'll rue the day.
Yeah, exactly. They're not punching the wall and knocking down pictures, and they have to call security like you see on other reality shows.
Yeah. No, they go them out the building.
Yeah. They go, no, thanks, coach, for your time. Appreciate it. And the guy's like, I hope you land. Because they're smart. They know that this is a league that's riddled with injuries. Their agent will be on the phone with every team. They might be on a plane 2 days from now to fill in a linebacker position for a team that's lacking
some depth.
In fact,
they've shown that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, shown like this player was cut 3 days ago and now he's getting a tryout for whoever.
What you do is you highlight some players that are on the borderline, and then you hope like the audience is like in on their story that the day when cuts are made, you're like, oh, not that guy. Oh, that's the kind of pull that you want. But
yeah,
it's all the
family of three.
Oh, he was living his dream, and his dream is now over. And then if you know the league, you're like, yeah, but he'll be on the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. That's the way the league works. And they all say that, too. They're like, no, it's not about your talent. It's a numbers game. We got too many people at your position, which means there's not enough people at some other team. Some other team may have zero people at that position that are on the depth chart. So it's never when you expect a reality show to be, it's never that, but it does give you some good insight. You know, it was like Aiden Hutchinson was kind of cool to watch him. They did talk about the guardian cap, that padded thing on the helmets that the players are using. Some players liked it, you know, not really liked it, but understood it. Others just hated it and didn't want to wear it, but they had to. So, and the coaches, the coaching staff of the Lions, I thought was really cool. Like Antoine Randall is on that, is in that. Deuce Staley is on there. A number of other players that played in the league. Aaron Glenn was on there. Aaron Glenn and Deuce Staley were going at it when offense played defense. That was really fun to watch. So overall, first episode, I thought that was pretty good. Might be something I do watch. But if I drop off on it, don't be surprised. Steve Gardner will join us next. We'll talk a Major League Baseball with him as we roll along this morning on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go back out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com. A call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, Major League Baseball. Yeah, kind of the stretch run. We're about a month and a half away from the postseason, so we're heading down the stretch. Steve Gardner joins us, USA Today, to talk base. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you?
Good. All right, let's get to Fernando Tatis. 80 games. It's a big deal. It's a big suspension. He was coming back from injury, and now he will not be available for the Padres. But we, when you look at the big picture on this, how does it affect Tatis? How does it affect the Padres going forward?
Well, number one, I think it impacts the trust that they have with him. I mean, he's a star player. They committed significant resources in signing him long-term to be essentially the face of the franchise for another, 13 years or so. So he's got to earn the trust or re-earn it from the people inside that clubhouse, number one. And then they have to figure out, what they're going to do with him in terms of how they're going to, incorporate him back into that. And it's a tricky situation, obviously, for the rest of this season. They won't have him. But they do have Juan Soto and a pretty good cast, nevertheless. So they can make a playoff run. But, to really, make a World Series run, I think they needed Tatis in that lineup, and he's not going to be there. And they're going to have to deal with that internally of thinking, what if, if he just come back as he was supposed to, how could things have been different? And that's kind of a painful thought, especially if it ends, kind of quickly in the playoffs rather than, after a deep run.
I don't know if he's telling the truth or not about the medication for ringworm, but I do know a lot of people are just, they do get tired of this same old, I didn't know what was in it. I just took it. I should have looked. Why don't they look? Why don't they have people making sure this is 80 games. This is a big deal. If your job was dependent on what you were ingesting into your body, wouldn't you have people looking constantly, making sure everything was on, it was on the up and up? This seems to happen
Absolutely.
A lot where they just go, yeah. I don't know anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, being the skeptic that us of the news media tend to be, it does seem like just an excuse making to where you can say that and then you don't have to say anything else.
Right.
And you can move past it and say, I accept my suspension and I wasn't at fault, but I'm just going to move forward and that be the end of it rather than, having any accountability about why didn't you do this? Why didn't you check with medical professionals? Why did you use, for something as if it true, if it is ringworm, something as simple as that, it's not worth getting suspended for 80 games and costing your team your services in the playoffs and to the start of next year too.
Because I'm not going to put Tatis in this. Maybe he is telling the truth. But you could almost see a shady underground of, hey, I want to get better with my workouts. I want to take a little something. And people going, here's the deal. You could take this, and here's what you can blame it on if you get caught with it and be cleared. There's a whole bunch of people that probably know what to do with that. So that's, I think, is why we don't seem to buy this as much as we should.
Well, and there are other masking agents and things
right.
like that, that you can combine with some performance-enhancing substances to try and lessen the chances of you getting caught. I think it doesn't bend the stretch of reality to think that his rehab was not going as quickly as he wanted.
Sure,
and there were a couple of times when he wasn't cleared to swing a bat. When the Padres, and probably he thought that he should be able to, and they had to delay that. And I can understand the mentality of, I want to get back out there as soon as possible, but to do it with the illegal means is definitely not the right way to do it.
That being said, the Padres are still a loaded team, as you mentioned. Juan Soto is there. They just got Josh Hader as well at the deadline. They still have Manny Machado, that Brandon Drury's hitting. Like, in the end, without Tatis, that's an important part of it, but is this still a World Series-centered team?
I think we saw when they faced the Dodgers right after the Soto acquisition and got waxed really badly, it shows just how far the Dodgers are ahead of where the Padres are. And maybe it takes a little time to gel and all that sort of thing, but I just think the Dodgers are so superior in their talent that it may not matter whether Tatis was back or not.
Sure.
As to whether the Dodgers could win the National League pennant and, you know, and beat the Padres along the way. So, yeah, it's excellent. It's great to see the Padres making that kind of move and not hiding behind, you know, market size or anything like that. This was a baseball move to win and win now, and they should be applauded for that. And who knows? That's the thing. You get to the postseason and a couple of breaks one way or the other, you could be, you know, you could get past the Dodgers. You could make it to the World Series. So I think that's really the idea behind this is give yourself a chance and let's see what happens in the crapshoot that is the postseason.
All right, let's talk about another team in the National League, and that's the Mets. It seems like everybody's catching fun Met fever. They're a fun team, and nationally people are starting to pay attention to them a little bit. But in the details, what's working for the Mets? What is it about them, the way they play, the way they enter these games, that has allowed them to sort of take off?
Well, it's not only the fact that they play well together, that Buck Showalter has got the kind of roster that he likes to where he can play matchups at certain points, and he's getting contributions up and down the lineup. And, you know, you've got the on-base percentage guys, the Brandon Nimmos, and you've got the power with Pete Alonso, you've got speed with Starling Marte. You know, there really aren't any weaknesses in this Mets team, and now when you get Jacob deGrom back, and he's been fabulous so far in his three starts, that you've now got a 1-2 punch with deGrom and Scherzer that can take you deep into the playoffs.
Right.
So I think the fact that there just aren't any weaknesses on this team, maybe a catcher, you know, maybe they could have upgraded at the trade deadline there, but otherwise, this is just a solid team, and they just keep beating back challenges from anybody. What they have not lost a series against an NL East opponent this season, and that just shows you how dominant they've been.
It is amazing. You know, we talk about this with pitching in the postseason. If you can get a good 1-2 punch, it's very difficult in a seven-game series if you face those guys twice to get through them. But Carlos Carrasco is going to give you a good outing. Taiwan Walker is going to give you a good outing. Chris Bassett's right. Pitching well. Like, this is a team that can win it in the middle outside of those two stars.
Absolutely. They give them a chance every time they go out there and then, you know, just turn it over to the bullpen, which got a little bit deeper at the trade deadline. And Edwin Diaz is having a fabulous season as the closer. So, yeah, this is I talk a lot about how great the Dodgers are, but this Mets team, you know, if those two hook up, say, in the NLCS, that could be some really compelling baseball.
All right, 162 games is a long time. Slumps are going to happen, but the Yankees are in the middle of one now. Is there something wrong? They missed Giancarlo Stanton. Is there a larger story than that? Or is it just, hey, we went on a road trip. We're not playing particularly well right now. We'll get it together.
I think that there's not too much reason for, you know, terrible concern at this point. I mean, they still have a 10-game lead in the division. And, yeah, if you're going to have a slump, might as well have it in the middle of August rather than, you know, at the end of September going into October. Give Clay Holmes a chance to figure things out, or Aroldis Chapman to come back and be the closer, or Scott Afros to take over. He got a save the other night. I think that's one of the things. I mean, the Yankees had just been locking down every single game. You know, when they were ahead in the seventh inning, it was lights out. And they've had some high-profile meltdowns recently. They've been struggling, haven't been getting the key hits, and I think that's going to happen over the course of the season. But yeah, this is still a very good team, and once they get Stanton back, then the offense, you know, is a lot more fearsome, and Aaron Judge is just having a phenomenal season. So, yeah, this is still a very powerful team and certainly a threat to make it all the way to the World Series.
Do you think Judge's pursuit of the 61 mark for the American League transforms into something larger, meaning there are people going, you know, I feel cheated out of 98, and even though it's the American League record and it's not Major League Baseball's record, here I am living in wherever outside of New York, but I'm going to follow this because there's something about it that's attractive. Or do you think this is an American League thing?
No, I think there's still some cachet to that number 61. Because it stood for such a long time that, you know, it's one of those records, you know, one of those numbers, I guess, that people recognize. And the fact that we have another Yankee, you know, attempting to chase that, I think adds to the storyline as well. And somebody who's popular. That's the whole thing with Barry Bonds, is that, you know, when he was chasing all these home run records, he wasn't liked really by anybody outside the Bay Area. And it was kind of a joyless home run pursuit. And for somebody like Aaron Judge, who's charismatic, generally, everybody likes him and wants to see him succeed and enjoys watching him perform. So yeah, I think if there's that positive to it, that if he approaches 61 and, you know, can break that, I think we'll have a pretty big celebration across baseball.
I agree with you, because I do think a sport that values its numbers so much, there is something about the dailiness of this sport, the numbers about this sport, that baseball benefits when the whole country is like, did he get one? Is he getting one? Tonight is he going to get one? Does he need two this weekend? There's something about it's really unlike any other sport because of the dailiness of it. Like, I'm kind of disappointed that Albert Pujols isn't going to play next year. I know it's just could be 700, but that would have been fun to watch if he were able to get that.
Indeed. And you know, showing, you know, hitting two home runs yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Still got a little bit left.
Left for a 42-year-old man. Still got some gas. Like, right.
Yeah. So I'm with you there. That would be hilarious to watch him and see everybody cheer him along. That's true. And I think you've hit on something there, that it is, you know, it's still numbers still define the game of baseball more than perhaps any other sport.
I want to ask you a quick question about the NL Central. It looks like it's going to be a fun race between the Cardinals and Brewers. Just had a series this weekend. Which team, though, in the next 6 weeks, which team is better prepared for the push towards winning that division?
I think it's the Cardinals, and you know, it seems to me like their lineup is better top to bottom, pitching staff top to bottom. Probably Milwaukee is a little bit better. Certainly from the starting standpoint, but it just seems like the Brewers, what they did in trading Josh Hader, it shook up not only the bullpen, but the clubhouse itself. You know, to have somebody who was so dominant that they could depend on at the end of games, and now, you know, that back of that bullpen has been shaky. They've had some blown saves. They've had some late losses. And, I wonder if, you know, they're going to be able to right the ship. And right now the Cardinals have moved ahead of them, you know, a game and a half ahead. And I don't think that the loser of that division is going to get a wild card spot. So this is basically do or die between those two teams.
Should be fun down the stretch. Steve, always good talking to you, my friend. As we get closer and closer, we got to get you back on, man. Good stuff.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for the invite.
Steve Gardner, USA Today, really, really knows his stuff on baseball. Please follow him on Twitter. Follow his work, because especially this time of year, we are football-oriented, we get it, but the fun races for playoff berths and the chasing for positioning, especially wild card and how deep it goes, divisions, all of that, is really, really cool. Especially chasing an Aaron Judge record in the American League of home runs. On a Progressive guest line, Progressive Insurance making bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. Come back, wrap up the hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks to Steve Gardner, USA Today. Robert on Twitter, Tony, I'm older than you, and it has been one rough ride with my home team, Lions. However, this... I know, Robert, I know,
We're feeling for you, bud.
However, this regime seems different to me. I'm at least more hopeful to turn this around. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm hoping...
There's a sense of that, isn't there?
There is. I really like this guy. I can't tell you exactly why I like this guy. I just like him, man. I think you got a good head coach there. Seems smart. I hope it works.
That team has been good and terrible all in the same season.
I know.
Like, you look at some of these teams, like, why didn't that team make the playoffs? Why didn't this one make the playoffs?
So difficult. Darren Rovell on Twitter just posted that he has added to his collection of stuff the lifetime baseball pass that Buzz Aldrin got for walking on the moon. I don't know how much he paid for that, by the way. But Buzz Aldrin and the astronauts got lifetime baseball passes by Major League Baseball in 1969. And Darren Rovell has added it to his collection. So this is not the first time baseball has done this. Do you remember when the in 1980, the hostage crisis, the Iran hostage crisis?
Yeah.
When those guys came home, when those guys came back, Peter Uberoth, who was the then commissioner of baseball, gave all of them lifetime baseball passes. To which college football analyst Beano Cook, the late, great Beano Cook, famously said when he heard that the hostages got lifetime baseball passes, haven't they suffered enough?
You saw it coming.
Haven't they suffered enough? Good
terrible.
Old Beano Cook.
Terrible.
I always liked Beano Cook on my TV. He was always a college football character. That is a cool thing
cool
to have.
Token of appreciation, man.
Yeah, because it's not like baseball. It's Buzz Aldrin's baseball
right.
pass. Like a guy who walked on the moon. Darren Rovell must have some serious funny money to be throwing around to be landing Buzz Aldrin's baseball pass. How much could that possibly have cost him? Deep six figures, right? Come on, it's Buzz Aldrin's baseball pass. It's got to be worth at least $200,000. Buzz Aldrin's the man. It's Wake Up Call, Sportsman Radio.